Ever stop to think about all the apartment buildings going up around the country? Or maybe not going up lately?
Right, it's a picture that's definitely shifting.
Today, we're doing a deep dive into what's really happening in the U.S. multifamily housing market right now, looking at Q1 2025 data.
And we've got some solid information to work with. There's a comprehensive analysis from Merrill Callicer over at Callicer & Associates PC.
Yeah, and that pulls in data from, the big industry names, Cushman & Wakefield, CoStar, RealPage, Yardi, CBRE. Plus, we've got insights from the U.S. Census Bureau, too.
So our mission for you, the listener, is to really unpack this. We want to understand the key trends, those big regional differences we're seeing, and maybe get a sense of what's coming down the pike for this crucial housing sector.
Exactly. Cut through the noise, find the important stuff.
Yeah.
So, where do we start? What's the big headline?
Well, the thing that immediately jumps out, I think, is this significant cooling in new construction. Just far fewer new apartment projects actually getting started.
Okay, yeah. The numbers really show that, don't they? Cushman and Wakefield put new starts in 2024 around 230,000 units. That's the lowest since 2012.
Wow, since 2012.
Yeah. And then Q1 of 2025, estimates are way down, like 70,000 to maybe 116,000 new units.
That's a huge drop-off.
It is. And maybe even more striking is just the whole construction pipeline shrinking. CNW says it's down 34% compared to last year.
And CoStar's data.
CoStar shows active projects have fallen roughly 42% since early 2023. That's a really significant slowdown in building.
And the reasons behind it, well, they make sense when you look at the economy, right? Financing costs are high, makes it way more expensive for developers. Plus, rent growth isn't what it was a couple of years ago. It's weaker, so that makes developers a bit more cautious.
And just general uncertainty about the economy, that always puts a damper on big investments like new buildings.
For sure.
Yeah.
Merrill Callicer put it bluntly in the analysis, plunging starts.
Plunging starts. Okay, so here's a really interesting potential ripple effect from that. The analysis suggests fewer apartments being built now could actually mean rents go up faster in, say, 2026, 2027.
Right. Less new supply hitting the market down the road could mean more competition for what's already there. It tightens things up.
That's a critical point for the future. But okay, back to the present. To really get the current picture, we need to look at where all the supply that has been built recently is located.
Yeah, geographically. And the data just overwhelmingly points to one region, the Sun Belt.
Right. The Sun Belt has been absolutely booming with new apartment construction. You look at cities like
Oh,
Austin.
yeah, Austin's a prime example. Lots of supply pressure there, and you see it hitting rent growth.
Phoenix, too, right. High volume of new units, making it a challenge for the market to absorb them all.
Definitely. And Atlanta's another one. A lot of new inventory impacting the local market dynamics there.
So this concentration, this pileup of new apartments in the Sun Belt, that's basically the main reason we're seeing such a different performance compared to, say, the Midwest or the Northeast.
That's exactly it. The sheer number of new units coming online in the South just creates a whole different set of challenges for absorbing them and for rent levels compared to other places.
Okay, but here's where it gets kind of counterintuitive, maybe. Despite this flood of new apartments in some areas, national occupancy rates have stayed surprisingly strong.
That's a really key insight, yeah.
Yeah.
Even with all the talk about potential oversupply in parts of the Sun Belt, the overall national picture, how many apartments are actually filled, looks pretty resilient.
Totally. Look at RealPage. They reported 95.2% occupancy nationally back in March. That's the highest they've seen since October 2022.
Wow, okay.
And Yardi's data for Feb March, 94.5% occupancy, basically stable compared to last year.
February.
CoStar in Q1 showed 8.1% vacancy, also steady. And CBRE, even at the end of last year, had vacancy at 4.9%, which is actually below the long-term average.
So it seems like people are still renting. Demand is holding up remarkably well across the country, even with more choices in some specific spots.
Yeah, what does that tell us? It suggests there's just a strong, persistent underlying demand for rental housing, doesn't it?
I think so. Despite economic worries, people need places to live, and renting remains a major part of the equation for millions.
Okay, so occupancy is strong. What about the cost? What about rents? We heard so much about skyrocketing rents. What are the latest numbers saying now?
Well, rent growth has definitely cooled off, big time. Compared to the peaks we saw, it's much more moderate.
How moderate?
Right now, nationally, year over year, rent growth is hovering around 1.0% to 1.1%. That's according to Yardi, RealPage, and CoStar.
Okay.
Cushman and Wakefield looks at asking rents, and they see those up about 2.0% compared to last year.
So definitely a slowdown from what people might have experienced, say, a year or two ago. Rent hikes aren't nearly as steep.
Exactly. Those numbers are below the historical average, which is usually around, 3% or 3.5% per year.
But they haven't stopped completely. It's still going up, just slower.
Correct. And it's worth noting, we are seeing a bit of an improvement from the really low growth rates we saw in 2023. So, yeah, cooling, but not freezing. There's still some upward movement.
Okay, so let's recap this part. We've got lots of new apartments hitting the market, especially concentrated in the Sun Belt. But nationally, occupancy is surprisingly high. People are filling those units.
Right.
And rent growth has slowed way down, but it's still ticking up slightly on average.
That's the picture. It's complex.
So who are the people moving into these places? Where are the population shifts actually happening? The Census Bureau tracks this, right?
They do. And the data on which metro areas gained the most residents between July 2023 and July 2024, it's pretty interesting. Some big urban centers are definitely leading the pack in sheer numbers.
Okay, give us the top few.
All right, number one is the Newark-Jersey City area. Added a huge 213,000 people.
Wow, big comeback for NYC area.
Seems like it. Then you've got Houston, Pasadena, the Woodlands, adding 198,000. Dallas, Fort Worth, Arlington gained 178,000.
Lots of Texas growth still.
Absolutely. And Miami, Fort Lauderdale, West Palm Beach, another big gainer, up 123,000.
So Florida too.
Yeah. Then you have DC, Phoenix, Orlando, Atlanta, Chicago, and Seattle all seeing pretty significant population increases as well.
That's quite a mix geographically. But what about the places growing fastest relative to their size, like percentage growth? Any smaller spots bopping?
Yeah, that's a different story. When you look at percentage growth, Florida really dominates the top spots. Ocala, Florida leads with 4.0% growth.
4% in a year, that's fast.
It is. Then Panama City, Florida at 3.8%. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina is up there at 3.7%. And Lakeland, Florida at 3.6%. Rapid expansion of those places.
Okay, and how does this connect back to what we were saying about supply and rent? Is there a link in these high growth markets?
Oh, absolutely. It's very clear. You take those markets that have seen both strong population growth and that big surge in new apartment supply.
Like Austin, Phoenix, Dallas, Atlanta.
Exactly. Those are the markets where we're seeing the most downward pressure on rents. Rent declines, actually. Austin is seeing rents drop anywhere from 2.7% to as much as 5.6%, depending on which data source you look at.
Right.
Phoenix is down around 3%, Dallas around 2%, Atlanta maybe 2.2% to 3.0% down. So more people are moving in, yes, but there are so many new units that landlords just don't have the pricing power. Supply is outpacing even strong demand in those specific spots.
So that really hammers home the regional differences. The South is drawing tons of people.
Yep, 9 of the 10 fastest growing metros are in the South based on that census data.
But in some of those exact same markets, you've got the biggest headaches with oversupply and falling rents.
Precisely. It's not a uniform story at all, but it's also important to see the rebound in some of the big older metros like New York, Chicago, DC, Seattle.
We saw them on the list of top population gainers. What's driving that?
A big factor seems to be international migration. That's added something like 2.7 million people to metro areas, boosting places like NYC.
That's a huge number. Okay, so shifting back to rent growth then, it sounds like the Midwest and Northeast are having a very different experience right now compared to the Sun Belt struggles.
Completely different story on rents.
Yeah.
The market's seeing the strongest rent growth right now. They're mostly in the Midwest and Northeast.
Like where?
New York City is actually a leader with rent growth around 5.5%.
So lots of people moving in and rents are climbing.
Seems that way. Kansas City's also doing well. Rents up maybe 3.5% to 4.1%. Chicago, Columbus, Philadelphia all seeing rent growth over 3%.
Okay, so much healthier rent growth there.
Much healthier. And it stands in really stark contrast to those Sun Belt markets we just talked about, Austin, Denver, Phoenix, where oversupply is actively pushing rents down. Austin's the most extreme, with rents falling between 4.5% and even 7.2% year over year in some estimates.
Oh, Manic is 7.2%. That's a massive swing. So it really is this two-speed market, isn't it? Some regions, strong demand, limited supply keeps rents rising. Others are just drowning in new apartments, pushing rents down.
That's the perfect way to put it, a two-speed market. And it just highlights why looking only at the national average can be really misleading. You have to drill down.
You really do.
The national numbers give you the gist, but the real action, the real story is in these regional dynamics. It all comes down to that balance or imbalance between supply and demand locally. And right now, the market overall is still digesting that big wave of supply from 2023 and 2024.
But even with all that supply hitting the market, demand seems incredibly persistent. Why is rental demand staying so strong? What are the underlying drivers?
There are several key things propping up demand. One big one is just the affordability gap between renting and buying. Buying a home is incredibly expensive right now with high prices and interest rates, so renting is the only option for many.
Right, pushes people onto rentals.
Yeah. We're also still seeing steady household formation. You know, young people moving out, families forming. Job growth, while it's slowed a bit, is still generally solid enough to support housing demand. That rebound in immigration we mentioned is also adding significantly to the pool of renters. And, you know, fundamentally, people just need housing. That basic need doesn't go away.
Makes sense. But okay, let's talk about the headwinds too. Economic uncertainty is definitely out there. Things like inflation, interest rates, operating costs, they must be impacting the market.
Oh, absolutely. Inflation, even if it's eased from its peak, is still a concern, especially for renters trying to manage their budgets. And those higher interest rates, they hit everyone.
How so?
Well, they keep borrowing costs high for developers, which we already said is slowing construction. But they also make mortgages expensive, keeping potential buyers renting longer, which boosts rental demand but maybe strains affordability.
All right. And what about costs for the landlords?
Big issue there, too. Operating costs are rising, especially things like insurance premiums, which have gone up dramatically in some areas. That puts pressure on landlords' bottom lines.
And capital. Getting loans, investment money.
That's tighter, too. Higher rates definitely impact investment sales activity and make it harder to pencil out new development deals. So capital constraints are a real factor.
Okay, so putting this all together, looking ahead through the rest of 2025 and maybe into 2026, what's the expected path for the multifamily market?
The general expectation is for kind of continued normalization this year. Q2 will likely still be absorbing that recent supply wave.
Okay.
By Q3, maybe we see national rent growth tick up modestly, perhaps into the 1.5% to 2.6% range nationally.
Still below average, but better than now.
Right. And then into Q4, the forecast suggests the Midwest and Northeast will probably keep outperforming, relatively speaking, while the Sun Belt continues to digest all that supply.
But the big shift, the potential turning point, seems tied to that construction slowdown we started with.
Exactly. That's the key thing to watch. Because of that dramatic drop in starts, we're expecting a really significant decrease in the number of new apartments being completed starting late 2025, maybe early 2026.
So the pipeline starts to run dry.
Yeah, pretty much. And if demand stays resilient, which the underlying factors suggest it might, well, less new supply meeting, steady demand usually means one thing.
A tighter market.
A tighter market. We'd expect vacancy rates to start falling again as fewer new options become available. And that kind of environment, that's when you could see rent growth really start to accelerate again.
Accelerate how much? Back to the historical average. Or even higher.
Potentially exceeding those long-term averages of 3% to 3.5%. That's certainly a possibility if supply gets tight enough relative to demand in 2026 and beyond.
Okay, so that paints a picture of near-term adjustment followed by potential future tightening. For people actually involved in this market, investors, developers, even renters, trying to plan, what are the strategic takeaways?
Well, in the short term, it seems like focusing on those more stable Midwest and Northeast markets where the supply-demand balance is healthier might be the safer bet.
Makes sense.
Longer term, though, you can't count out the Sun Belt. Once those markets work through this current supply glut, their strong population growth and demographic trends still offer a lot of potential. You just have to time it right.
And what about buying or selling apartment buildings, the transaction market?
That's likely going to stay somewhat sluggish until there's more clarity on where interest rates are headed and the capital markets stabilize a bit more. Uncertainty holds people back.
So operationally, what's key for landlords right now?
Efficiency is huge. Controlling costs, especially with things like insurance going up. And tenant retention, keeping the renters you have happy, becomes even more important when the market's challenging or rent growth is slow.
Got it. And we have to acknowledge the bigger economic picture hangs over all of this, right? All the uncertainties.
Absolutely. You can't look at multifamily in a vacuum. The broader economic outlook is, well, murky. You've got potential impacts from new U.S. tariffs maybe reigniting inflation.
Yeah, that's a concern.
The Federal Reserve is being very cautious with monetary policy, which affects interest rates and borrowing. Capital availability is still a question mark for many. And as we've stressed, that regional divergence just adds complexity.
What about the macro indicators? GDP, jobs.
We're seeing signs of slowing GDP growth. There's talk of potential job cuts, rising layoffs in some sectors. Consumer confidence has been shaky. Job growth is decelerating, even if it's still positive overall. It points to a cooling, though still resilient, labor market.
And the Fed funds rate, still holding steady.
Yeah, maintained at 4.25% to 4.5% for now. Lots of uncertainty about when or even if rate cuts are coming this year. Plus, those tariffs could push construction costs higher too, adding another hurdle.
So, wrapping this all up, it really sounds like a complex, dynamic time for the U.S. apartment market. Nationally, rents are cooling off from those crazy highs.
Right.
But underneath that national average, you've got these huge regional differences. It's all about local supply meeting local demand.
Exactly. Sunbelt dealing with growing pains from overbuilding, Midwest and Northeast, showing more stability, even strength in some cases.
And the big thing looming on the horizon is that shrinking construction pipeline. Fewer new apartments coming online in the next year or two could really flip the script, potentially leading back to a tighter market and faster rent growth.
That's the key takeaway, I think. The contrast between the Sunbelt's current digestion phase and the relative strength elsewhere, coupled with that looming supply slowdown.
And it definitely leaves you thinking, doesn't it? If that construction slowdown really does lead to accelerating rents in 2026 or 2027, what does that mean for housing affordability across the country, especially in different regions?
Mm-hmm. A crucial question.
And how do these shifts in the apartment world connect with all the other economic changes we're seeing? Definitely something for all of us to keep thinking about as we watch this market evolve.